Let's hold our hands. Let's say this word together. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive revelation found in the written word. Our eyes behold Jesus, even as he sees us in himself. He's glorified and we're edified every day in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're looking at being a Christian every day. This is the third section. Being a Christian every day. So, we said, we'll look at a few things today and get into some other details also today. Amen. So we said, how a believer handles scripture is very vital. How a believer handles the scriptures is very vital and very material. Hallelujah. I would say that is the quality of a good Bible student. He's a good observer. Hallelujah. So then you observe, how are scriptures used? When I talk about scripture, I'm talking about Genesis to Malachi. How are the Old Testaments used? Glory to God. How are they used? So we said, we highlighted four things. We said they are called scriptures. Right? Right? Hallelujah. We say they are called scriptures. We say they are the only materials through which the oracles of God were taught. Genesis to Malachi. They were not taught as material. They were not used as material that was going into extinction. No. They were not used as material that has gone into extinction. Rather, they are not used as material that is old. They never called it Old Testament. Rather, they use it as materials that were or that are profitable for spiritual goals. Hallelujah. And that was the only materials they thought from. Sufficient for spiritual growth. So when I read spiritual growth from the New Testament, and I see spiritual growth in the writing of Paul, he's reading it and writing it somewhere, Genesis down to Malachi. That means a Bible student in our world today will begin to re-educate his mind, refresh his mind, renew his mind concerning how the Old Testament books are used. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And lastly we said, they didn't write their own materials as material, which is the New Testament books, were no replacement for the Old Testament books. Rather, the new one will have as New Testament writings were written so that you read their writings together with the Old Testament books. Was not a replacement. No. Hallelujah. So that means the context of the New Testament. When I talk about context, I mean the foundation upon which the New Testament books were written is the Old Testament books. That is, you cannot understand the New Testament books without the Old Testament books. You can. That means if you have a faulty explanation of the Old Testament book, you have a faulty explanation of the New Testament. And write yourself. Amen. And it's happening very right now. What I follow you? That's the very right now. You have to see it that way. The moment you have a faulty explanation of the Old Testament book, just understand that what you have as a New Testament writing will be faulty to you. Because you've not all have seen it well. Because that is the context. You know, I've listened to someone who, the minister, he just popped up on my phone this morning. And the person was trying to talk about when Jesus said, was a parable. When Jesus said, and then he was using it to teach that Jesus didn't say you should do two jobs. Now you have a job and also have a work. That's what Jesus was saying. No. That was a parable to deal with something else. But because it was already faulty. Amen. But you see, when Jesus gave the parable of the seed, if you don't understand what seed, Jesus' context of seed was from the Old Testament book. How about everything? So that means if I don't understand the context of that, I don't understand it in the New Testament, how Jesus will use it. Jesus' use of the word bread was not referring to boku bread or gender bread. No. It wasn't referring to those kind of bread. Jesus' use of bread was referring to the same bread that Moses wrote of. So if I don't understand what Moses' bread was about, I will miss what Jesus' bread is about. Amen. So Jesus did not say, I am the bread of life. You know, that is, if you are in his audience and you've never read the Old Testament books, or you have been reading it the way we read it today, use it to put on our heads to sleep so that with arrows that fly it will not hit you. Rubbish. Right? If I don't want to hit you, you think that is going to protect you? Nonsense. Amen. Amen. That's rubbish. I think we will do that to the whole lot. But not you. We are not talking that way. Amen. It is signed by the paper. Yes, it's the word of God, but don't get deceived with Hollywood. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So, where was I? Huh? Talk about bread, right? Yes. Now, when Jesus says bread, and you don't understand how Moses used bread, you will miss it. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Ah! If you are in Moses' audience, or if you are in that audience, and you are like this kind of person that use Bible anyhow, you only read Genesis 1:1. The next place you read is Psalms, Proverbs. You just read anyhow. And you just have the bread of life. Jesus has broken two fundamental parts of Scripture, which is Genesis chapter 3, where you have the tree of life. What is it? Right? He now used the word bread again. Bread, you find bread in Exodus. Watch it. Amen. So watch it. Now, here's what has happened. Jesus has said, now if you are in that audience, you understood that the reason why God gave them bread, right, from heaven. Now, careful, it was not any hard bread, it was bread from heaven. And they called it manna. Watch it. What was happening to them? They were fainting. They were dying. Did you see that? They were hungry. And, you know, the bread was to signify, listen, that what man really needs was not physical bread. Was the bread from heaven. Did you see that? So, he now brings in, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Watch it. Bread of life. Bringing in, they were famished, which is the state of Jesus' audience at that point. And what they needed was something to quench their hunger. He brings in Exodus and brings in Genesis. The life in the garden. The life, the tree in the garden. Watch it. Amen. He brings in those things and says, I am the bread of life. He now says, your father ate manna. Watch it. What did your father eat? Your father ate manna in the wilderness and they are dead. Follow what Jesus is saying. Your father ate manna in the wilderness and they are dead. He said, this is the bread of life. And this is the bread that came from heaven. He said, he is the bread that came from heaven. What has Jesus done? Jesus has reworked their mind around Moses. For them to see that what God gave to them, what God was showing them, is the fact that what they were hungry for wasn't actually physical bread. Though they got physical bread, right? But what they were really hungry for was the bread of life. Did you see that? Amen. That same bread that Adam needs in the garden. That's what they were hungry for. So Jesus reworked Moses for them. What are you following that? He reworked Moses for them to see. That what man really needs is not physical bread. So, quickly, Jesus again was accosted by Satan in Matthew chapter 3. And Satan gave the message and said, if thou be the Son of God, he said, turn this stone to bread. Now where did Jesus go to again? Jesus goes straight again to Moses. Hallelujah. He goes straight again to Moses. That is Matthew 4. Amen. That's Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Let's get to Deuteronomy 8, 3. Now Jesus goes straight to Deuteronomy 8, 3. Let's all go straight to Deuteronomy 8, 3. Let's see what Jesus has done. Now when Satan came to him, asking him, turn these stones to bread, right? Deuteronomy 8, quickly. You need to see what Jesus has done here. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Now, verse 3 says, and he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not. Watch it, which thou knowest not. He now says, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make known, make thee known, that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord, doth man live. Now watch it. He says, man, now Moses is talking to a generation that is after the generation that ate manna in the wilderness. Watch it. Right? He was speaking to that generation that came in after those that were destroyed. That thing. Now he said, you're going to ask what they don't know. Manna. He said, but man shall not live by bread. So Moses is changing their narration. Just like Jesus did. What he said, you're going to ask manna in the wilderness and we are there. They are the bread of life. Watch it. Amen. So, watch it. So, he changes that narrative for them, like I said. Now, what is he reading that narrative for? From Moses again. Moses also gave a disclaimer that man shall not live by bread alone. You see that? So, even while they were eating bread, Moses was telling them, this is not what sustains a man, no physical bread. You see that? Amen. So, that means, like I said, Jesus has reworked their mind around Moses well. What does that mean? He has reworked their mind around Moses well. So, the New Testament, as I put it, you cannot have a complete understanding of the New Testament without the Old Testament. If not, what you read will be vague in your eyes. You can see. Remember you can say, when your scripture is taken out of context, you can give it any meaning. Any meaning that the author didn't say. And that also applies to if you deal with the old, with the New Testament books, after the Old Testament books, you deal with any context. Amen. That the author didn't actually intend. Now, we have a context of being twofold. Where do you write it from? Right? And also, the immediate environment. Hallelujah. What are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. So is it right? So the old, the New Testament were replaced, but rather it gives the Old Testament gives the New Testament book a context. A context.
Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. 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 Let's say something now. John 6 again. Right there. Okay, no. Before John 6, let's quickly to John 3. John 3. In verse 14, look at what Jesus said. Are you there? John 3:14. He says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Now, watch where Jesus is coming from. He's talking about eternal life. Right? Talking about eternal life. Being born again. Look at verses 12 into 13. He says, if I've told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe? If I tell you earthly things, and no man has ascended up to the Father, but he who came down from, heaven. Even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Watch it. Now, he now says, and as Moses, now he's talking, listen to this, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, what has Jesus done?
We're walking their minds again around Moses.
Is that? Jesus Christ said the serpent that Moses lifted up is the serpent to know. No. Amen? He's not saying that serpent. No. Now, go back to Moses. Why did Moses put the serpent on the brazen serpent on the pole? You see that? You have to ask them why. Then, that is numbers. That is numbers. I'll run you through that. But ensure that what am I about to say? Numbers 21, sorry. Ensure that you go through it when you get home. Because of time. Now, they had an epidemic around that time. Numbers 21. They had an epidemic. They were beaten of snakes and they were dying. And Moses inquired of the Lord. And what? And God said, you should make a brazen serpent and lift it up. Now, watch it. Watch it. Now, something was happening to them. Right? So, a brazen serpent was made and put up. Miraculous. Right? So, he now says, as many as look up to the brazen serpent. Right? Look up to the brazen serpent will be healed. So, as many as look up, God healed. Now, Moses was not writing Jesus. Amen. But get the context of what Moses is writing. Right? Now, you were beaten of snake, of serpent. Now, they were dying. And Moses did something. That is miracles, right? Right? A miracle. So, as you look up to the serpent, and you look up to see the serpent on the pole, the brazen serpent on the pole, what are you seeing? You are seeing, now, in their culture, now remember, around that you have to look at culture. In their culture, when you hang anything on the pole, it's used for, when you hang something on the pole, it's used to show judgment for it. Amen. What we are following is judgment for something. Amen. So anyone who is judged or a criminal is who is put on the pole. Right? A judgment has been passed. Oh, you are following. So Moses picked the serpent and put it on the pole. Moses wasn't writing about Jesus at that point. Okay, yeah, he wasn't talking Jesus there. He just put it on the pole. So I believe as I look at the pole and I see the brazen serpent there, God has passed, what Moses is saying that, see what God has done, God has passed judgment. Do you see that? What are you following me? On this, I believe it, that's what I'm here. Watch it. So Jesus said, just as Moses did that of the serpent. Right? Judgment. Now, what is the serpent? What is Jesus using the serpent to represent? Sin. This is that unbelief. So that means, in his death, what would you find? You will find judgment for sin. And as many, just like they believe that God has passed judgment on the serpent and they were healed, as many as will believe to see what God would do in passing judgment on sin will be saved. Did you see that? So that's what it's saying. He's been working your mind again around Moses. So if you don't understand what the serpent is for, you will say Jesus is the serpent that Moses put on the pole. Did you see? An erroneous, wrong conclusion of Moses. And that wasn't what Jesus was talking about. Hope you're following me. So that means you can't take away the Old Testament from how you read the New Testament books. You can't. You can't. Amen. You cannot. So that means I therefore will have to apply the Old Testament books well. So that I will have an understanding of the New Testament. I'll say that again. I'll have to appraise the Old Testament books well, that I will have an understanding of what the New Testament books is about. How are you following that? How are you following that? Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So, hope you understood what I said to you. You cannot have an understanding of the Old Testament, of the New Testament group without the Old Testament. That's what I wanted to see. And we can go on and on and on again. Hope you're following that.
When you're following that, so that means you will find the element
in all their writings of the Old Testament. You find the element of the Old Testament in all their writings in the New Testament.
You find it. Amen. Because that was what they were reading. They didn't have any other material to read. Glory to God. Glory to God. You find that element in what they do. Come on. We'll look at two more on Sunday. So, as I read the New Testament books,
I must always understand that the context of what they were writing was New Testament.
Glory to God. Glory to God. So their writing was also reflected. Let's get into some other things. So, So we're now looking at the word Christian, right? Christian.
And it's good news because there's a putting of that argument that we shouldn't enter the name Christian. I've once done such useless argument years back.
Amen. We should not enter the name Christian. Let's not enter the name Christ. Come, let me knock your head. Now, Christians is a name of mockery. I understand their sentiment.
Amen. That they were criticized or they were mocked and called Christians at Antioch.
But the question I would usually ask in recent times is, did God work with what was available? Yes. Right? Right? Was that the first time God is working with what is available? No.
You find it in the Old Testament book.
Now God gave them bread. They called it manna. Manna means more. What is this? Amen. What is this? God gave them bread. He said, what is this? And God didn't take back the bread. He said, how can I give you something? You're calling me what is this? He allowed them. And God did not call it what is this. Amen. Glory to God. So they were called Christians at Antioch. And he said, was that the first time they were called Christians? Yes. But was that the first time they implied calling them Christians? No. Right? Right? At some point they saw the apostles, and the Bible says they took note that they were unlearned. I mean that they were unlearned men, but they took note that they've been with Jesus. What did they take note of? Because they were Christ-like. They were Christians. That means their life was reflecting what they teach, what they spoke about Jesus. What are we following that? Amen. Amen. So Christians, we are Christians. Glory to God. So that as a believer, as a Christian believer,
say no, let us not Christian, let us not believers. We are more believers than Christians. Yeah, obviously.
Amen. Amen. That we believe in Jesus Christ and therefore we act as Jesus Christ. We have his, we act like him in the earth. What do you have with me? We are only Christian, we are not Christian, we are only believers.
Leave the nomenclature.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Who are you acting like? I'm acting as Christ. That makes you what?
Christ alike. Right? You are Christ alike. Is that a Christian? They said, as a believer, as Christians, a key word in Christianity or in discipleship, which is, we said, also, a key word in discipleship is that you are consistent, right? Now, something we said
also is that, how do you become a Christian by this thing, right? Once you are born again, you are saved. Amen. Amen.
You are saved. So being born again is an instant. You have an instantly. You are a Christian. Amen. You are Christ alike. You have the nature of God. You have the nature of Christ.
Hallelujah. Amen.
But being a disciple is a process. An unending process. Hallelujah. We said all that. I would say the characteristic of a disciple is what? Steadfast. Continuous, right? Consistent. So the characteristics of a disciple is consistency. Consistency. We saw that. Hallelujah. So the believer must always stay. Stay with what is our practice, the Christian practice, as we call it. So that word consistency is where you have the word to be religious. You're religiously doing something. You stay doing something. Hallelujah. You stay doing something. Religious. It means to be devoted doing something. Religiously doing something. Devotedly doing something. So, a part of our Christian belief is devotion. We are devoted. Devoted. Devotion. Hallelujah. That was Christian belief, devotion. And we say we found that in the disciples. The Bible says in Acts 2:42, they continue. Acts 1:14, they continue. Hallelujah. So our devotion is in the service to the Lord. Our devotion is in service to the Lord. Devotion means you are on it. It has become your life pattern. It's your lifestyle. You know, I said this to Ross. I said, growing up, and it helped me when I got to the university. You know, stayed with my parents till I got to enter the university. Yes, I grumbled. I found a people that grumbled money devotion. Now, where it was now worse was when I was not a word man. You know, a word man. I know my rights in Christ. I know my rights and privileges. Yes, I was still building up for money devotion. You know what that means? You know your rights and privileges. You're saying the word. I'm saying the word. I was still building up. Glory to God. Glory to God. I think that's enough. Wake you up for one individual. Especially, sometimes you my mom doesn't care if I sleep at 4 a.m. Wake up at 5. When it's 5 o'clock, like, everybody is up. The first of all starts clapping.
I will enter his place, and I will enter his name in my heart. I will enter his place. You do not wake up. I'm very glad that the Lord has me. I'm very glad that he has me. How can you be glad you're fucking up to the body?
She'll be at home tomorrow. She'll be around tomorrow. Sometimes when I think about it, I don't love it. I will rejoice when he has made me glad. He has made me glad. We are now waking up. I said, he has made me glad.
How am I glad? I slept.
Let me go through the night, and then I'm waking up with just 2 hours, and he has made me glad. I don't think it's... We're just mumbling. Glory to God. We're just mumbling with all this
one. Even when I was going up, and then... We might go to... We were inside the church, and... One day
I will just pack out. I can't wait to go to school. All this disturbance. And I went to school. That was now my saving grace. Did you see? That was now my saving grace.
That's devotion. In fact, I now have two devotions.
In
the morning
and the night. That was my saving grace. How would you have expected it? I got into school, we were supposed to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people in a room, and we were more than 15.
And out of the 6, out of the 6 people, only 3 of us or 2 of us were normal students. When I mean normal, we were normal, the rest were cultists. They're smoking, going in the room. How do you think I would have survived?
I didn't have a devoted life.
You didn't need that. So somehow when I look back, that thing saved me. Then, another thing that will now bring devotion.
You can use daily manna. Is it daily manna or daily bread?
Ah! For
mother know me. My mother will not read that day. I said, Friday night, the Monday to Friday, we will go to devotional.
Why? Because we need to go to school. We have to be fast, like that has to be prepared for work, we have to be done to go to school.
But on Saturday, we will not read devotional for Monday. Kill me, God!
You know, you are just thinking,
just be done with this devotional and then just go back to sleep. Because we have times everyone how we fetch water. I don't fetch on Saturday. So I just go back and sleep. But we now start Monday. I fully know that I'm sleeping. My mother will be done reading it. She didn't want to read it. And it's just one copy. That's a smart explain.
And you don't explain. You
will see Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what happened with Sodom and Gomorrah. You know how it was, how the city was destroyed. So you would have said, okay, give me the money.
So once I have developed over time, I already know the topics, the books over time. It's not the word, it's the word.
We're singing song. You don't know that. Well, explain, expatiate. Open it. All this is just to bless ourselves. Because,
I cannot wake up early.
What is?
In school, there are people who stay with me.
I was usually the first to wake up.
Very, very early. Imagine a room that when you stand up to go and you leave, and you come back, your space is gone. You have to continue to sleep on the chair. So, now develop tactics of holding your room. Because you're not just doing your food. Because as you have to stand up, you think you're sitting down, man, mouth on top of chair. You just continue.
Yeah, you are not busy, I'm not busy, job.
You hold it.
So, imagine that. Yeah. Go to my second year. Go to the room where my roommates were watching porn. On their laptops. I'm telling you. Then in the morning.
They're watching porn.
I'm in the night, I'm watching porn.
What saved me was not the emotion. Now, I would not wake up very early and I would go out to pray. Come back in the night. I'm outside. Once I go for lecture, I don't come back to the room. Sometimes I sleep. Okay, sometimes I come in by 7-8, stay to bed, and then people go for work. By 9:30 to 10, I'm out to pray till 11:12. I'm back. Did you get it?
So, you know, it helps. Just that life is a devoted life. The level of Christian is a life of devotion. See, I believe that God wants us to be enact devotional. Amen. And I'm going to talk about it by next week. I'm going to talk about it well. And that is the reason for our chain prayer. When you have to wake up early to pray. You don't know what that does. That time when you wake up to pray and to study. It's not that it gives you. No. But that time is a devotion. It's service. When a believer is found in a devotion, it's service to the Lord. Early in the morning. Early when you rise. And you say, early. Also, that's in the life of Jesus. Jesus had such devotion. Jesus had such devotion where he would withdraw himself in the morning to pray. It was a life of devotion. He would sometimes take himself to a solitary place of praying. He had a devotion of hearing the word. He would go to the synagogue. Nobody has to call you, how far? Are you coming to church tomorrow? You know you have to be in church. You know you have to study. You know you have to listen. See, these are devotions. You can pattern your life that way. See,
A believer having a, permit me, having a triangular life is not a sin. Not anybody muscles you to the world's mode of, the world's mode of operation. Say, no, you just leave, just flex around. No, 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 no. That's not the life of a Christian. It's not the life of a Christian. The life of a Christian is a life of devotion. A life of devotion. We should know what we should, what you are doing by this time. We should know. Amen. Amen. Not that they are forcing you to send reports whether you did chain prayer or not. No, you know you have to wake early to have your chain prayer. You might not be calling at this year before. So we will not give you guys. So I didn't have data. Tell them that there was no time. You did not pray. You did not pray. You woke up around 7. Now say, okay, I'm just a pastor that wants to wrap your pastor. You think you are doing it for your pastor? No. It's your life. How are you?
I told you. Now, I said, for example, said the way you met Reverend Fuchs, Reverend Tukumo, was,
he met someone and asked the person how he was going to be. He said, by 12 a.m. at Kendall Hall, you are. He said,
I'm saying that
as well,
I was the one that
sent you. So, he said, by 12 a.m., he said, you see somebody walking and just praying in tongues like this. I said, that is it. Said, he was there 12 a.m. Somebody was walking in tongues. That was it. Telling me that predicate. He said, no, I cannot even see them. I'm like the wind. At least we know wind used to blow. We are not even seeing your blowing. See, I'm like the wind. No man can tell where I come or what I do. Only
left. You pray, you don't pray.
See, I'm like the wind. And if you don't feel the effect of wind, let's see your own effect. Amen. Let's see your effect.
Glory to God. I remember one time like that. I used to teach like this. You are like the wind.
The announcer of another teaching. In the time that you always stay with your pastor. Announcer of something. Announcer the Bible is the control of the believer's life. Somebody in our midst, like we are here, came to meet me. And I said, Pastor, no. How can the Bible be in control? I said, the Bible is our control. I don't understand. You don't want to have control. Genius. The Lord, but you say you are like the wind. I said you are like the wind. I also said the Bible is the control. I said, sir, you just imagine remote control. He is telling his pastor. He said, sir, you know, that one didn't sink. But like the wind sinks, right? Like you can quickly just jab. Amen. Smoke one. Take one drop. Huh? Like the wind. Unpredictable. You can go to the water and come back. Unpredictable. Rubbish. You know, the Bible says, no, sir. Sir, just imagine a remote control. If you have a remote control, you will know everything. This channel will go to this channel, will go to this channel. Sir, how can a believer's life be like that? This believer's life should be known.
I said, sir, no. And that was the night I was going to school. And I said, see. And he was the person that was to lead the ministry there. And I was going to school. I said, see, you know what? This is part of you. This part. Once I'm back from school, we'll deal with it. But it was in the night. And I was ready to go. I spoke to him today. And I said, see, you know what? Don't teach this thing. At all, this one, don't see. I'm going to monitor you. Then I had Lenji.
I had Martin. So I had Martin's Lenji, yeah. I had one other guy. And I said, see.
When I called Lenji, he was the only one that had the phone. So I said, communicate this to Martin. Ensure that every time this person teaches this thing, let me know. I told them immediately. So I told him, I'm going to put control. If you teach it, I will step you down. How rubbish is that? Don't stay in the church. Tell me, yes sir. But sir, the believer doesn't have control. I say you have control, but don't say.
You know who I came out of school? Eh? It was the same person. I didn't connect some dots for you. It was the same person that, he got saved. So most people, and before he got saved, somebody had he had impregnated somebody a day before he got saved. So 9 months after,
The person put to bed and he didn't let him know. They had a chance to grow. And that guy has now grown to handle responsibility in church. This is that the brother has now grown to handle responsibility in church. Now had a chance to grow to look like the father. The man brought the child home. So after the head has done that, everything now connected in his head. The believer doesn't have control. Did you see that? Automatically backslid. He backslid yet. He backslided where? Yeah. He backslid is not back. It is not backslidden where I think you know you are flying there or trying to go in. This is like, you couldn't even hold me. You backslid. And you know, the one Agam was used to do, or Agam was used to do, 10. We tried to hold him. We saw him in one corner, they call White Corner. I went to White Corner because of a brother. You know what they call White Corner? Okay, if I don't know. You know White Corner? When you know what they do in White Corner, you only eat Manchester granite there. You know what they call White Corner? White Corner! I went there. I used to call that place Sodom and Gomorrah. Me. I don't go there. Even when my mom sent me to that place, I don't go. I said, hey! Sodom and Gomorrah!
I will not go. I will never see you.
I'm telling you the truth. I went there with my brother. I sat down. And there were bottles on the table. But I sat down. You know, about bottles. They were mouths. They were bottles. And I was talking to a brother. And the guy just simply small go on my face. Brother! Oh! And then I mean, what did I just say? I spoke and yeah. Disciple! Disciple! I got it. Let's see the details of another day. Your devotion is very vital. It's very vital. Hallelujah. Be predictable. Be predictable. Glory to God. Be predictable. Let's know. We see them again. Let's know he's not in the war. Let's know. He's praying. See, and you know the point is they are not big. We're going to say something. They are called simple devotion. It is spiritual growth is not a Greek and Hebrew. I will say it and say it again. Spiritual growth is a simple thing. Sometimes we oh glory to God. We get to that point where we just think we become too very academical. And then we'll keep the simple details. Keep the simple details like putting God's word on your lips. Simple details. Like being God's word. Evangelism. Simple details like praying. Simple details. Like waking up to pray. God became a man in Jesus and God was found praying. Simple. 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 What am I going to do? Amen. Don't be too big in your eyes. Don't be like Saul. You become too big in your eyes. You cannot longer pray. You cannot longer study the word. You're not studying the word on your phone. Greek and Hebrew, strong. You cannot longer use paper Bible to study. It's not strong you are using. Until your faith is strong. Rubbish. Study. You know, that time where you just pick up the word. See, no matter what. I used to be this tech guy. But even after I left Pastor Shevin, I always accredited to him. And I came back to my paper Bible. After Pastor, there was a time I told everybody this year. I can see picture. I say, this year, nobody is going to bring paper Bible for December meeting. Everybody's going to buy a car. When I'm teaching, just bring out your car.
All of them, look at them.
we're backsliding together.
But you know what? Truth be told, that's how I started studying. I learned to study by using concordance. This one's the first. What? Greek and Hebrew. Almost like now you think it's an annoying Hebrew name. Hebrew what? Is it, you know what is prayer? Prayer? Well, look at that word. Look at that word again. It's what that word is deceit. What is that word? No. Let me explain it to you.
is the word eratao. And you demand from God as a Christian. And you don't even pray. And you know the Greek word for prayer. You know the Greek word? Deus. You don't make a supplication. And your spirit is in tune. That will not be the time
of God to pray.
No. I know some people one time, they did prayer conference and they did not pray. Prayer conference, no prayer. Stop that. Amen.
Are you hearing in Hebrew? Some people know more Hebrew
and then they don't put the word. Lambano. Lambano, kata lambano. No, you know, when you pray, just like Jesus did. It's called you, Papa. No, you forget you. And you don't pray for 1 week. No, no. You don't have a life of devotion. Amen. Come on, you have a life. Say, the Lord, I want to be more like you. I want to be the vessel you walk through. It's not with Greek and Hebrew. And the word vessel is that Greek word. And the word you walk through. No, you have to take them together. The Greek word, you use them together.
Okay.
Live how you use it to. Move how you use it. Study. Pray! Pray!
See, I'll share something with you. There's something I'm going to add to what I'm teaching on Sunday. I'm going to add something to it. And it's called the demonstration of the power of God. I know I'm teaching dealing with God. But I'm going to add something to that teaching. I'm telling you the truth. Because, you know, sometimes you get too academical. You get too academical, and then the only time you remember Holy Ghost is towards Believers Convention or towards CRC. Woo! After that, you are done academical. No! Holy enemies, no! Don't do that. Hallelujah. Don't do that. This is not even you don't have such kind of life. Then the disciples beat it and they continued. This is that they continued praying. After the Apostle chapter 2, they have time for prayer as a church. This is an hour of prayer. They went to pray. This is that in Acts 6, Peter will say, we'll give ourselves continually to the ministry of the word and prayer. Continually. The same word, continually. Hallelujah. Continually. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Continue to pray. Saul of God saved and he was found praying. After sin they were praying. They had that devotion. What's your line about? As I'm talking to you now, take a look at your 24 hours every day. There was something that I recently debunked, but it helped me. It has to grow it up. And I'm not saying you should do it, but I want to use it as a sample for you. I remember then I and my friend, we had a discussion, and then we said something like, there's something about the hour 12. Some of you have heard me teach about it, right? The hour 12. 12 a.m., 12 noon. How many of you have heard me talk about it? Because it's funny, but I know I'm going to teach it, but it helps us. So we don't set alarm for 12 a.m. and 12 noon. Remember, I'm 12 noon, the everything points of the spirit. So we started praying 12 a.m., 12 noon, every day. He helped us build a devotion. But we got to now, they will now keep it some other way, right? Then they're like, no, let's not do that, it's not right. No. But let me preach it. Amen. They believe us in life. It's around devotion. You want to grow steadily. Can't do that. You want to close steadily. You want to have a consistent believer's group. Right? You want to have a consistent believer's group. You must be consistently devoted. Consistently devoted. 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 Don't start today and stop tomorrow. Start today, continue tomorrow, continue next week. Then we'll not deal with it in boredom. Did you see that? Okay, then boredom will set in. That's what we are dealing with on Sunday. Hallelujah. Amen. We must be consistent. Look at Luke 10.
Luke 10. Verse 38. Luke 10, 38. And it came to pass, they went and entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received them into her house. So Martha has a house. That means, you know what? And she had a sister named Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, he sat at Jesus' feet. Now, to sit at one's feet is not necessarily literal. Like Jesus came and Mary went to sit on his feet. No, no, no. Sit on the feet is actually an idiom. It's a figure of speech. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, formerly, I used to think it means to just go to the person's leg and sit down. No. Thank God for Pastor Shelby helped me see that clearly. Yeah, that's actually an idiom. To me, she was a disciple. In the word to sit means to submit. To submit to one's ministry. Hallelujah. To submit. So that means she sat at Jesus' feet. It's a figurative expression to mean she was a disciple. Watch it. A disciple. You find that too in Acts 4. Acts 4, 35. They came and brought things to the apostles and put it, they brought it to the apostles' feet. That is under the control of the apostles. Amen. Acts 4, 35. And 37. You also find Paul say he learned at Gamaliel's feet. Acts 22, verse 3. Gamaliel, meaning he said he was Gamaliel's disciple. Gamaliel was a scribe. He's a Pharisee. And Paul said he learned. To say he learned from Gamaliel, that he was a student of Gamaliel, he said he learned from the feet of Gamaliel. So that was the apostle's feet, or to sit at one's feet, is a word used for discipleship. So it's a short acronym, or it's a short word, a shorthand for discipleship. So, Luke 10. So, he said, she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. What is? And did what? Heard his words. That means she was, so that means literally she might not be sitting down on his left. Maybe she might be distant away, but to make you see that she was part of the disciples with Jesus, hearing Jesus teach them. Are you following me? So that means she sat around the disciples. Where the disciples might even be standing or sitting on the desk or sitting somewhere, but not necessarily on top of his legs. Are you following me? Okay. Let's go for. Now, verse 39. And you have verse 40. But Martha was encumbered about much selling. Martha was encumbered. Encumbered. Now that word encumbered is, and you need to see it. Remember I told you last week that the opposite of devotion is what? Distraction, thank you. The opposite of devotion is to be distracted. So when you find a brother or a sister or a believer who is not living a life of devotion, who is not devoted, watch it, that person is distracted. But I'm not distracted, you are. If you are not found devoted, something else is taking your mind. Something else. So, the word there, encumbered them, is the Hebrew, is the Greek word perispao. Now that word means to be dragged around with many things. She was distracted. Amen. You have been hearing it by the corner. She was distracted. She was encumbered with much time. Hey, Cooper, you are behaving like those mamas in the university campus. All those fellowship universities, those mamas. This is somebody of 21 years, Papa. Papa. Say, Cooper, Papa. Who is it? You don't see wisdom. Papa. And I'm saying, Papa. In school. And he's not paying his school fees. It's Papa. Another pay down to him, Papa. The role of Mama. Mama's role is to be cooking food in the body of Christ.
We serve him food in the body of Christ. He left. There we go. I remember a story about Shelly J. He went to university and he was invited to minister and he went to preach. He was not preaching. Now observed that the mama, and he's not just that, but he's everywhere. I've seen it too. The mama will be there with some sisters. They are arranging shivita. They want to make the man of God. So,
I don't know if he was done preaching.
He went for him to rest, and then he comes for the sister here and said, "Where have you been, sister?" I said, "Sir, I didn't see you this time." "Yes, sir. We were running around for you. Doing what?" "Ah, we're preparing what you eat, sir."
"You didn't hear what?" "Remember what you eat, sir. We bought you your favorite. She did that. No, okay. We bought you fried yam. We made very dry yam. And then with a bottle of malt and jam donut."
Listen, it's your favorite. We asked around and they say it's fried yam. Fried. Very dry. So that's not a bit for you.
And the Lord of God said, "I don't need it. What's it? But what I need more for you is to be there." And some people are like that.
Amen. You see, I say very well, it's good to serve in the house of God.
You serve in the house of God, right? In the business. It's good service. But when you are serving, don't get distracted. Some people in serving in the
church,
serving in the house of God, they get distracted.
They say, "Why are you not taking notes? Why are you not listening?" I was ensuring that the camera did not shake. You are doing editing of audio message and you never listen to the message. You know that can happen. You are editing a message and you are never listening to the message.
Even as Martha was hearing Jesus, we heard him by the sound. That's the word, that's very far. She was in Cuba, she was doing different things. I'm hearing the sound.
No, there's a difference. Amen.
Ready? No. I was listening, but I was counting when we came for the crusade. They are counting and you're not listening. You're not listening. Amen. You see, that obedience of God's word is important. Is devotion. How you listen is devotion. How you listen when God's word is sought. How you listen to God's word is devotion. Don't be distracted. People are in church, they are thinking about something else at home. How? Unless she was in combat, then it's foul. To be dragged around in your mind, dragged around, all that things is dragging you. Target is dragging you. The month is running to an end. I need to sign that offer. I need to do this. But you're not in church. But your body is in church. Why are you not around to the end of service? I'm going to buy you Pepsi. It's not only Pepsi. It's Pepsi, sir. There's no Pepsi yet. I'm not going down. Why you know I'm not going down back? I'm not going down. I need to buy Pepsi, sir. For newcomers, sir. You have like 50 newcomers. I have to buy and cut out Pepsi, sir.
Amen. She was in combat with much serving. And take note. Who was she preparing the food for? For who? Her husband. So for Jesus, though. Did you see that? The matter ministry, just out of audacity. The matter ministry.
Let everybody take one more. For pastor, give pastor jam donut. Give them jam donut and more. So dark. You are like bread pastor.
Amen. Amen. That was about the last visit you guys went. I was not there now. I was telling you, you're not giving me a report.
I'll tell you something to the end of the age. You're not giving me a report. What is the balance of what is going on? By virtue of what I had accounted. And my head was being, I just left school down there. I just started walking. My head was being, what is the balance? This is what I'm saying. It's about we shared something. I said shared more. You do not share for more than 30 people. You shared what? You see me there? He's a bro friend. He prepared jam donuts and more.
That's it. So me truly, I know how the person that came to meet me. I'll call it a gun seeker. I said, did you drink? Actually.
Let me tell you what actually, wisdom took two. You know that he spoke about our wisdom. I think it was one of the leaders. And that wisdom was said, yes, and wisdom, but I said no.
Did you take?
He said, no. I was thinking that somebody brought this for me that. I said, there's nothing for you that I will find your mouth.
And you don't come and tell me that you challenge them. So you saw gum donuts. I'm wrong.
I
listened to
that one. But you said they got gum donuts. Well, I think to be sure. That was close to like
9,000 there. And that doesn't know what like gold for us. We need 9K. Pay this money.
It was broken.
They prefer jam donuts.
You know, I can replay that thing in my head. Because it was funny to me. I can think about the seat I sat down. And when he came. I said, no. You do take. He said, actually, sir. He mentioned somebody, I knew it was wisdom. When he came back, he said that it's wisdom that comes to my mind.
Because you know why? Wisdom was upset.
Wisdom was upset. So the way he put it in hand, you actually, wisdom too. Did you take? That's the question I asked. I was at home and they brought it.
So that means you
asked. I think I told you all of you that is God. That's the fact. It is everybody. If everybody will say anything,
how will they? But I came at his foot too. I will say that part for today.
You are hungry for this money. No. I mean, the whole money, they wanted to keep it, putting the money to zero.
Amen. Yeah. SW. So but it was in Kumba. Now imagine. You have to do something that your mind was on jam donuts. In Kumba, drag the man.
We said that thing. That means she was distracted. It's only, you know, let me tell you. I think I said this in church on Saturday, on Sunday. I said,
so someone will say, and then they say, no, the reason why they were so devoted was because there was no distraction. It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. I hope that...
I should
show you today. You need to open faith to watch pornography. Not you here, but in our world. You need to get to... You need to stress yourself.
I tell you that it's some cultures, ladies will not just dress. They will not just wear clothes and they will walk in. The sergeant was old for. What is it? That is just phone now. It's not phone. So that being devoted was a choice. And it was not a character of the believer. You see that? Amen. In order to be decided, they would have been. Jesus, Paul said, that man has left me for the world. I mean, there was much distraction. Much! I think some people who are doing self-righteousness will be able to survive in there.
But what are you saying righteous people? He's dead. Okay. But no problem. When Paul encountered the one in First Corinthians, he said, somebody have his father's wife and all of you kept quiet. So what is not even named among the Gentiles? Jesus. Let's go get five paro. Man of God.
You know what is paro? Don't worry. Paro is when you paro.
Five paro!
No
thing. There was distraction too. Yeah. But what we have today is modernized distraction of their world. But they were also distracted. Hallelujah. They were also distracted. So that means they being devoted was a choice. Hallelujah. Was a choice. And was because they were believers. They saw it in Jesus. They saw it in Jesus. Hallelujah. They saw it.
That we can also live a life of devotion.
We can.
So, back to Luke 10. Let's round this up. Hallelujah. This was in combat with much servant. With much service. With much servant. And came to him. Now, that is what it brings. You know, you could get so distracted that you don't have a devoted life. Now when you now see people in a life of devotion, you begin to throw tantrums. We're not looking like that. I get out discussing this with workers, right? You don't throw tantrums. You begin to mock them indirectly.
Don't worry, you will tire.
We need to do this thing. We used to. Your service to God becomes useful. You don't throw tantrums. Sometimes you begin to fight them. It's because you are not devoted. I said it and I said, and I'll say it. Go and take half of the people who are attacking ministers online. They are not found in news. Amen? Somebody beat the church. Beat an auditorium to house thousands. And I say, is nobody moving? The church has moved on the building.
The church is in the house.
Go and watch them. They only have four members. It's jealousy. Ujukuku. Amen. Amen. If we have 500 members, sit down here. Are we going to still be using here? Are we going to be using here? Won't we get a bigger facility? If we have 10,000 members sitting in a place, won't we get a bigger facility? So, why are you... It's not about numbers. It's about what? It's a war! It's a war!
Other gets numbers. God goes for numbers.
Amen. Amen. God wants the numbers too. Evangelism.
There's the world. I just teach the world.
Come on. Amen. You know, we are believers. Amen. So most times you find some people who are there criticizing others are because they are not in ministry anymore. They become umpires. When God called them to do anything on par, people are fell on the floor and thought it's wrong. Amen. 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 On fire. Rubbish. They were checkmating. Distraction. And come on now. She came to me, Jesus. Look at what she said. He said, Lord, does thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Did you see that? Can you see what distraction can do? Guess what distraction can do? You need to have the body when you see people who are doing the work of ministry. Somebody, you have not done evangelism. You are a believer on vacation. No life of devotion. Believer on vacation. No life, no prayer life. No life where we find you studying. No life of evangelism. And somebody comes to meet you to evangelize to you and say, do you know the Greek word of the word gospel that you are preaching? Now let me give you the Greek word.
Oh God, you are not doing it.
Amen. 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 The Greek word is euangelion.
Oh God,
if you know it, go and preach. Amen. How am I following you? There's a law. And look at what Jesus said to him, to her. And Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha. You know, when Jesus calls your name two times, you know that it's a serious matter.
That word matter was not matter. No. It's a word for correction. Because, you know, she's already distracted. She's called to Jesus. She's angry. Master, you don't care that my sister came to join me. Jesus, Martha! Something like that. Martha! That is, give yourself brain. Amen! Martha! He said, thou art careful and troubled about many things. You are troubled about many things. Isn't that? He now said something. Watch this. This is very vital. He said, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part. Said, one thing is needful. One thing is needful. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. One thing is needful. So, we're going to look at that word. Now, that means, let's get back to something about matter that I need to show you. How is it, my goodness? Martha was there when Jesus was teaching. Was she not there? She was listening, right? Was she listening? Okay, no, she was hearing, but she was not listening. She was hearing, but she wasn't listening. She was busy. That means she was hearing by the side. She didn't pay attention. Hallelujah. She didn't pay attention. That means we could be hearing and not listening.
We could be hearing and not listening.
Hearing God requires my attention. I have to give it your attention. Hallelujah. Then Jesus said, one thing is needful. And that one word, one thing, is not only one thing, like number one. No. That's not the word used here. That word, one thing there, is the word little thing. Little thing. One thing. They're going to say, what is required? What is needful is not plenty. Did you see that? That's what it means. What is needful is not much. What is needful is not cumbersome. Hallelujah. What is needful is not cumbersome. That's what we say. What is needful is needful. You know, you must get it. When you want to do everything at the same time, that's distraction. It's confusion. Hallelujah. The one thing is needful. Not one singular, but what is needful is simple. It's little. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he says, and Mary has chosen that good part. And it cannot be taken away from her. So what is needful is little, and what is needful requires attention. It requires focus. What is needful is not ambiguous. No. It's not ambiguous. It's not big. It's not plenty. It's little. And you must stay at it. You must stay at it and not be distracted. Must stay at it and not be distracted. Okay. That is what Mary has found.
What was she has found? Attention.
Where is your mind? See, they're not perfect Christians. They are not expert Christians, like I said. They are not perfect Christians. They are not expert Christians. Our expertise. When you see somebody who seems as if he or she is an expert, he's not an expert. That person is only being consistent. Pay attention to what is vital. Pay attention to what is needful. Paying attention, not being distracted. From talking about distracted with friends, whether that distraction is friends. You want to be friends with everybody in the world. No. You want everybody to like you. Amen. Pray about those distractions. All that distraction is their phone. All that is needed is that phone to get missing. And nobody should get another phone. All that is needed is listening. I need your attention. Hearing the word.
Amen. That's what you find. That's what you find with
merely needful attention to the word. To the word. How often are you devoted to hearing the word? That simple practice of waking up, praying, and studying the word. That simple practice of not just having chain prayer. You fix time within the day. You fix time within the day. Morning, evening, time for evangelism. It's service to God. When you say, I want to organize my life on how I want to live for God on a daily basis. God wants it. God wants your attention. God wants your attention. You think God doesn't? God does want your attention. Your attention to study.
Intention. You can have that devotion. I want to have on a daily basis, apart from my morning 1 hour,
I come out for work by 5. PCU or church activities by 9 into 10. 1 hour. For the Lord, 2 hours to listen to messages, listen to the message and start it. Don't start it. If you have that culture, don't start it. If you start it, start it again. It's a call back to that life of devotion. When in a week you are saying you are going to be, you are going to be doing evangelism, you sit it down and pray. I want to do evangelism on Saturday. On Wednesdays, 3 hours. You think God is the life of the world? Let me be that. So at home they say, where is Motun? Ah, what's today? Today is Wednesday. Ah, by 4. Motun is preaching. Don't worry. If you call her, she will not pick your call. That time, when you are studying, you put off your phone. Not you are studying, you are attending to WhatsApp. You are answering WhatsApp messages. You are answering Facebook messages. You are praying, you are opening your phone, tapping your phone to check time. Have that attitude, that devoted attitude. Amen. That devoted attitude. It's devotion to the Lord. It's devotion to the Lord. Pray. Have times of retreat. Have time. I encourage you to do that. If you shut yourself inside, I'm not going out today. I want to pray. So you shut yourself in. I'm not talking to anybody today. My phone is off. Nobody's going to call me. Amen. After as well, you say, I'm not going to look at social media. In fact, maybe you're doing a business that you use social media. I'm not going to look at social media. Have time for that. God wants you to. And it's service to the Lord. Hallelujah. You can stay focused. Let's stay focused. Next week I'm going to get into some other details as regards how to handle distractions in devotion.
Amen. God will distract. Hallelujah. Will distract.
Just a little and then we'll also pick it up too in dealing with God. Amen. There will be. There will be distractions. But you must not allow, because another person is not praying, will not make you not to pray. Another person is not evangelizing, this will not stop evangelizing. Another person is distracted, this will not be distracted. No. No. Amen. Amen. Simple devotion. Simple devotion. Simple devotion. Hallelujah.
was the father being devoted all the time.
Remember, I said I'm going to take this in some quotes. I'm dealing with just having, reenacting again devotional. Being a Christian every day. You must keep the devotion. Simple. I'm suggesting as a church, we take our paid prayer very serious. Any money. So, at a point, you get to a point, you don't need to set alarm. But take it very serious. Simple. You pray. Then beyond that, fix times too. You can say on Saturdays, the Saturdays I'm going to be having teaching with you. This
after my morning devotion, I will listen to a message. Two messages. See.
Devotion is, don't say, you know, there's something about waking up to pray. And it's different. I'm going to say this. And it's different from I'm going to work and I'm driving and I'm praying. No, that could be an easy substitute. It's good when you drive, you pray. I do that. I listen to message when I drive. But that must not take away that simple devotion of praying in the morning. It should. I as a pastor, I usually would just pray in the morning when driving. But no. I collected myself.
I must stop. Because
I'm a pastor, as I'm preaching to you, I'm hearing myself. And I'm also adjusting. Hallelujah. I'm also adjusting.
I used to do that, I'll just say, because I want to do this, I'll pray in the car. You see that? I'm praying in the car. And truly, I do pray. Anybody that follows me, no, I'll just shut out from every other person. Just be praying. But you know, that is not it. That is not it. That is not chain prayer. Amen. And now, that doesn't mean what I'm doing is wrong. But that is not chain prayer. Look at the lady. You should do something. Amen. See, today, if I'm driving, like I said to you again, you can't send me walk on the street and walk from here to that place and my mouth is gone. Hold me and start praying for me as I feel it.
It's my default console. Default console. Yeah, that's how you play PS1. Yes, it's my default console.
I will just pray for it. Amen. And defaultly configured that way. I will just... You can't find me just walking and I'm...
like a sheep
going to... Move. Just on your... I'm just... Well, you know, that can also... That's one. It shouldn't. Amen. Amen. As a pastor, as a cell leader, is studying the word
must not be substituted with preparing messages to preach. No, you shouldn't. But have that devotion. When you have to feed on the word, when you have to meditate. Now, I'm going to deal with meditation.
Being a Christian every day, meditation on you. Now as I said, I would like to end this one and the next one, hopefully, that then continue from the same being a Christian every day, in fasting, in meditation. Amen. We must see it together. Lord, devotion first. When you fix that time
to study, to pray, study, to pray, fix it. Study, pray, evangelize. Don't joke with. Amen. Study, pray, evangelize. We'll deal with it again. Amen. Study, pray, evangelize. Don't have grace. And I know that the Holy Ghost is drawing our attention to it as a church. Study, pray, evangelize. See, this is where you find Christian groups. They're serving in the local church. Amen. There are some ways to sing. Some people are serving in the local church. They are very active.
They are coming. They are preaching everything in the church. Arranging chair. It's good. It's good. Very good. We want it. It's good. It's nice.
But you know, that should be built on this simple devotion. Who are you having? Amen. It should be built on it. It wasn't because you are cleaning, you're always ensuring that this and that that I'm growing. You mustn't miss it. It's not either or, it's everything together.
Amen. Hearing the word and what you are doing, your service in the local church is built on the word, prayer, right, and doing the work of ministry. It's built on it. Amen. It's built on it.
Okay, hearing me. Glory to God. Why are you guys distracting me at the back? Amen.
Amen. Your Christian life should be built around it. Glory to God. Your Christian life should be built around it.
Prayer. Studying and doing the work of ministry, evangelizing, discipling men. That's what I do. Let them say you are living a triangular life. You always pray. What kind? Can't you flex? Flex and do. After I don't flex, you now be renewing your mind. Now be renewing your mind. I renew my mind. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Have a drink. Why would I go through this stress when I would just stay away from it? Right? Have you? Stay away from all those rubbish. Stay with the word. Stay with it. Amen. Let your service in the local church be built on this principle. Your personal devotion with the Lord. Okay, ready me. Let it be built on it.
There's a song we used to sing there.
He's working for God. He's praying for all men. I just think it's about it. It's just a song that we just a bit of truth in it. This is doing the good work in the house of the Lord. Many people are perishing. Brother Harry is your healer. Okay, many people are dying. Many people are perishing. Brother Harry is your inner man. Harry is your prayer. Harry is your inner man. Harry is your inner man. Harry is your prayer life. How much of the word of God do you have in your life, or you are just busy for him? See, we could get so busy for him and think we are doing the work alone. We could get so very busy, so busy. Don't you think Jesus needed food? He needed food. Right? Did Jesus need food? He needed food. Yes, he needed. But you know, at that point, there's what is called order. At that point, you need to hear, listen. Rather than listening, the food will come after. Amen. Amen. Order. 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 Glory to God. Order. I trust the Lord. Order is coming to our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ. Order is coming. The Lord is putting our attention again. Amen. So the world gets so quiet. We go to see our parents and then they are sitting more in devotion. And they are, you are still doing this? No. Do it. What about today going back and they are doing more in devotion and then you teach them to do devotion better? Hallelujah. Amen. I go to my parents' place and my mom will tell me to lead devotion. If I do devotion morning and night, I should lead devotion. And I'm glad to. She doesn't handle devotion and I'm there. Glory to God. Amen. Last time she was telling me that Munachi had to lead devotion and she was praying in tongues. Munachi lead devotion, I started praying in tongues. Let's pray in tongues. My mother can't, but my dad is going to do this. Pray in tongues.
Let's pray. Amen. Live a life
like that. What about whenever you visit them and they're having it, you teach them how it can be done better. Right? Amen. Now, I just stop there from using devotional.
We used to have devotionals.
We used to. We used to. Amen. But we'll stop for a while. We'll get back to it.
Very soon.
Amen.
Very soon.
I don't know how soon. Don't ask me how soon.
But very soon.
We'll get back to it. But you might not have... I'm not recommending any devotional for you. I'm recommending St. Pavilion Church Media for you. Get messages. Listen to it. I have notes. Listen to it. Read your notes. Amen. Your notes is a non-devotional. Some people don't read their notes. It's a non-devotional. Read your notes. So you can make it a duty every morning as I pray 1 hour. I'll go through teachings, pastor's teachings. Amen. And then later listen. Did you get it? Amen. Go through my notes. Later listen to it. Have that life. Let your notes be your devotion. Today, when I get there and I read the devotion and they are done with it, explain. They are done with the devotion. Then you don't explain. Put life on God's word. Today. Right? Yeah? And more will not start asking questions. We can ask questions. Morning devotion from 6. You can do that morning devotion until 8, 9. So you need to question. Need to explanation. Need to explanation. Need to explanation. Need to be. Devotion answer.
Amen. Amen. Me, I used to think it was boring, but now that's what it's supposed to be. Amen. See, the things of the Spirit are usually not logical to the sense. Many times. Usually not. You just wake up in the morning, do exercise, go, you're praying. You're not tired. No. Amen. Sometimes your senses does not want to, cannot accommodate it. It doesn't make sense, maybe. Sometimes. Can you just wake up and you're spending 2 hours? Say you are doing devotion. No, do it. Amen. You are devoted. You have been you are living a life of devotion. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Learn something. Learn something. I just want to see where you are. Just bow your head where you are. And just, as you bow your head, you say, have you messed up your devotional? You are doing it before active. You have time, 6 a.m., 6:30. You are still studying. And now, you're becoming so much busy. Sometimes you could be legitimately busy. I wanted to attend to something in the office and something, and then you stop it. That legitimacy doesn't hold water anymore. You've got to pay up. So, you know, the time to just concentrate your life again. Just the time to concentrate your life again and say, Lord,